You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and we're also heard on the World Wide Web. Ellen?
We are on 1510wwbc.com. We have all of our archive shows from, believe it or not, the last 12 years that we've been on air. So you figure two guests a week times 52 weeks, there's a lot of shows on there, and you can search right for the date or by the name. We also have them on our Facebook page every single week and also on our website, sitamediainc.com. So you can tune into any one of those spots and either catch the show live by going to that 1510 WWBC and hitting that live on demand button, or just a listen live button. The on demand button, you can listen to all of the archive shows back to back if you'd like.
And I tell you, it's wonderful to be back in studio with you and Paul. And of course, we have Danny, a new addition to our studio life here. Is Danny's going to be running our board today. Thank you. Thank you very much. And Ellen, so you and I sit here and on Mondays, every Monday, and we speak about things that are going on right here in Brevard County, Florida. We speak about things that are going on around our nation, our state, our world. We talk to politicians. We speak with bankers. We speak with nonprofits. All we have to do is give people the phone number and they can call us, or some of them reach us by email, on Facebook Messenger, whatever it is. We welcome people who want to use their talents, gifts, and abilities and change our world and change our world for the better.
Yeah.
And I know you're sending Dr. Masood Qureshi our phone number to call in.
I am, yes.
All right,
am,
thank
yes.
you very much. And so, you know, it's very important that people get involved in whatever is going on in their town.
Right, it's things that affect you, right?
You know,
that's what,
like,
we were kind of talking before the show.
Yeah, and arts imitates life sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so grateful that I was, you know, doing my searching on Netflix, and I was looking for films to watch, and I found this really wonderful film called Sawan, and it just hit close to home because we had just had the Zonta Club on our show talking about human trafficking and things like that, and it really opened my eyes to human trafficking, not just in here in the United States, but around the world,
mm-hmm.
right? So for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, our first calling guest is Dr. Masood Qureshi. He is a nephrologist in Mesa, California. Arizona.
Arizona.
Yes. Arizona. And he's affiliated with Chandler Regional Medical Center. He received his medical degree from Dow University of Health Sciences and has been in practice for more than 20 years. He will be speaking about his film. It's called S-A-A-W-N, Sawan.
Mm-hmm.
He will be speaking about this film and telling us why he produced it and directed the film. And I have to tell you, the film won about 7 awards in international awards. It is about, it's a good time to have someone speak about a film like this because it was all about representation about women and their children and the sacrifice that women make for their children and how much a mother's love affected her son. So when he has time, if he could get time away from his busy practice, yes. he would be calling in.
Yeah.
And our second guest, we're going to be speaking to Congressman Charlie Crist,
yes.
who,
I'm
as
so
you
excited.
Know, called in already on our yeah. show before. And he's calling in to give us an update about the campaign and speak a little bit about, you know, where he's at. You know, we always like to know where our friends, how they're doing when they're running for office.
Right. And, let our listeners know how they can get in touch with Mr. Crist,
yes,
and make sure that they
very
support
easy.
His
charliecrist.com.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But make sure you support him or ask questions or get involved in any way that you know how.
Right. The one reason to stay involved is to look around your own kitchen table, right? talk about your own bread and butter topics at home. What is affecting you and your family? Is it health insurance? Is it your mortgage? Is it finance rates? Is it buying a new car and you don't have enough money for a down payment? I mean, do you have concerns about your leaking septic tank? Do you have concerns about your children's school and their teachers and what they're eating at school or what they're learning at school?
Roads,
infrastructure.
Housing,
so if you just look around your community, you could pretty much tell who you need to vote for and why. So he'll be calling in to speak a little bit about the pandemic and vaccines and Medicaid expansion, public education, whatever it is, second half of the show. But in the meantime, we're still waiting for our friend Dr. Mashoud to call in. And I know you gave him the number, correct?
I did. I certainly did. All right. So we had a lot of things going on this weekend. Lots of St. Patrick's Day events that were going on. Downtown Melbourne was just completely packed with folks. And, of course, our band played all weekend, which was great. We had some great friends out. I was telling Sita about one of the folks that's been coming out and filming us and actually doing some really cool videos. Baglock Video is the name of the Baglock Palmer. Greg Palmer is the gentleman who comes out, and he's such a fantastic, just a fantastic guy, and does great videos. So you have to look at my page and see some of the videos that he
did. I will check that out.
And also, I wanted to let everyone know that we have a new grant that came into town. As you know, I'm a coach for the Women Business Center at FIT, and at FIT, they received a grant to help small businesses with startups, also with transitions, like if you're transitioning from one particular, you know, economy, if you will, to another, if you're moving, if your business is expanding. So there's a transitions program. And
I
also
sent you a couple
Ignite.
Of phone numbers for a couple of people who wanted grants.
I did. Yeah, exactly. And the grant is already running. So there's money that's available. So if anybody needs or is in small business right now that has some questions or would like some help, right now is a great time to get that. The grant will be good until, I believe, July. So you got to act on it now. It's not something that lasts forever, of course.
Well, I'm grateful to know you and to know you could help people who want to open a small business
absolutely.
And get those dollars in because they don't have to pay it back.
Exactly.
So anyway, so I was telling you about my friend that I made through the film Sawan, and his name is Dr. Mashoud Qadri. I hope I'm saying it correctly. It's about a handicapped 9-year-old boy who lives in the valley in the mountains of Balochistan, is rejected by his father, intimidated by society, harassed by friends, and left alone due to his disability, strengthened, get this, by the memories and dreams of the love for his mother. And what a great time to have someone call in and speak about the love of a mother. Woman, this is Women's History Month.
It is.
And
yeah.
As you know, I was on a panel Saturday with Bokaska speaking about women and empowerment. And I also attended a fashion show in West Palm Beach, and there were a lot of women speaking about what we should do as women to leave a better footprint behind for the next generation. So, Dr. Mashoud, thank you for taking the time to call in from your busy nephrology practice and speak with us on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Hi, Sita and everybody. Good morning. Yeah, pleasure is mine.
Thank you. So tell us, you know, your film, it just hits a person right in the heart because you touch on that film with so many issues that are going on in society right now, the refugee crisis, poverty, lack of resources, lack of jobs, religion. You touch on the idea that people who are born in a certain land have to flee their lands just to survive and get an opportunity. And most important, you also touched on human trafficking, which we're seeing that happening right now with the war in Ukraine. So tell our listeners, Doctor, how did you get involved with first writing the film, producing the film, and bringing the film to life so that we could enjoy it?
Absolutely. One more factor, there was a vaccine as well in that.
That's right. You talk about the vaccine and the polio vaccine. And at the same time, we were all wrestling with people who didn't want to take the COVID shot and all that. So, yeah. So talk to us a little bit about your life and what you have done for us is just phenomenal.
Yeah, thank you very much. As a writer, I tell you, how did I get into the film Sawan? I started writing a plot, this is based on a true story. And on a true note, there was a 9-year-old girl who had almost the same circumstances, and she was left dry and high in the middle of the desert, and she had managed herself to reach those refugee camps. And that was my first, my whole body was jolted. I got goosebumps.
Yes.
And then I had been thinking how to, you know, as a writer, you have some suffix, and then how do you put it together on the visual mode, on the, you know, on your pixel mode. And that's what the writer is about, on the movies versus the novel. And that was my first, you know, jump start to start working on it. And in the beginning, I wanted to write it as a novel, not as a film. And then I started writing, and then I, you know, when I was almost there, like 75%, I got a feel that, like, this can be on some kind of a, you know, OTT or somewhere on the cinema mode. And then as the film, I, you know, get into the characters and then finished it up, and I was very sure this is purely for the cinema. And as far as what other objectives were, you have already alluded so well that those were all those, you know, as a writer being sensitive, those were objectives or suffixes in my mind to put it together in one box. And I think we were able to manage to successfully transform whatever we had it in our mind to all of you.
Doctor, what was your hardest scene to write when you were writing the film, so on?
The hardest was the ending, because the ending was like, you know, I wanted to, because this is was art film, and as a matter of fact, I take it back. All films, like an art film, is a film which is close to the reality. Now, these days, the viewers want to see the reality other than Batman and Superman, right?
Yes.
So my ending was very critical on me being the part of the, you know, belong to the part of the world where few issues are very sensitive, just like we have very sensitive issues here in US. You know, there are norms and abnormals, like it can be abnormal for you, it can be norms for them. So the ending part was very critical for me when I was putting it together, that a couple of the kids, they got killed by those, you know, the kidnappers or whatever you call them.
Yes, yes, I remember that scene. It was heartbreaking.
Yes, yes, and that made me cried.
And it happens, and that does happen in real life as well.
Yes, ma'am, it does happen, unfortunately, absolutely. Human trafficking is the wildest thing, just like as you said about the, you know, women empowerment. I always speak out very loud about women empowerment, and at the same time, with the same notion, I always say that we are all social animals. We need to know our definition so that we can work together in the most scientific and humanistic manner.
Yeah.
So here, in this genre, with the Sawan, the ending part was very, very hard on me.
Yes, and you know, one of the things about Sawan too that you showcase and let the viewers actually look at it and think was the corruption also in those refugee camps.
Absolutely.
I looked at that and I thought, oh my God, the people left their village to seek a better life, to make a way, and they had to leave Sawan behind because he was disabled and the father just despised him so much. It just broke my heart. But then when they got to the camp, the mom brought out to us about the politicians who were coming there to get votes, and they were so corrupted.
I think this is a universal phenomena with some decency or more decency, like a fake decency. It's everywhere. You know, I would not name the borders. You know, it's everywhere. And that's what we, as the filmmakers, the problem with us, the filmmakers these days, because of this social media, that we get so-called, you know, criticized. As a writer, I always request my colleagues, you know, speak out the truth. And then say it in a subtle manner with some subtext that it is obviously not a slap, but it should be transformed into the visual mode.
That's right. And sometimes it's not what we say, right? It's how we say it. So you are an actor, a writer, a physician, a producer, and in some ways you're very philosophical as well. What was the most difficult part of your artistic process? Because not only did the film... was it a true story? And we saw the scenery and the cinematography and everything. But something must have been difficult. Well, how did you juggle your practice and writing and filming?
First of all, you know, writing runs in my family. So I just took few of the DNAs, a whole lot of it. My father, grandfather, great-grandfather, they were all writers. So that is one thing. As far as taking time out, you know, you have to have a passion. you may be everybody to what I believe everybody is creative in his own, you know, the Almighty has given you the instinct of dreams. Dream is, you know, it creates creativity inside your mind. You know, that science, psychology, psychiatry all proves it. So everybody has a creative mind. How do you put it together? If I just elaborate my own discussion is, you know, you have some imagination or a fantasy, and now how do you put it up on a pen and on a paper, along with a skill to transform it that like Sita will like it and all other people will like it. This is what the writer is about. So either you are a writer, and for a writer, you may be a novel writer, not a film writer. You may be a film writer, but not a drama writer. So it has its own subclassification, but you have to have a huge passion for it. And I did carry this passion ever since I was a child. You know, I used to play in small school in dramas and everywhere ever since I was a child. So I knew that I have some fidgety mind inside me, and then that's going to bring me up there.
Yeah, so you were able to bring that out in the film very nicely. So now you're, in addition to producing the film Sawan, you write your novels, and you're working on another film about women empowerment as well. Tell our listening audience on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends about your next project.
Yeah, this film is titled as Arpar, like, you know, pierce through. And that is about a women empowerment again, and it is exclusively for women empowerment. It is more of a universal kind of a story about how in this modern digital world, these, you know, absconders, these, if I use the word, those criminals, how do they frame the women, and how, you know, women can be brave, strong, and can fight as a mother, as a wife, and as a friend. So this is all it's about. And obviously, you have all those norms, and again, the crux of the culture issues over there and everywhere. So that's what it's all about. It's a bold film. It is not like Sawan. It is a bold film, and it and we will see how it goes. We have already had commitment with one of the largest OTT about this film. So we are going to bring it up first on the cinemas, and then we will see probably next year we will give it to them.
It sounds like it's going to be a gift to us women to be able to view that film. So
absolutely, yes. Yeah. One thing I wanted to say that, you know, if it is being done by a man, then most important thing is we should all understand we are first human. You know, so first thing is we are all human. Either you are a woman or a man. That's why we are human. So the suffix if you break it up, we are the same people. We are the same DNA. So we have to support each other. And at the same time, as a woman, you know, you have to go with this notion that like if you all are together as humans, then obviously the man's gonna be all together with you, because love is in your ingrained in your nature.
Well, but love is the force that moves the universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the
mm-hmm.
thing is, if one child graduates from college, it affects all of us. If one child
Absolutely.
Is starving, it affects all of us. If one mm-hmm. child is being used as a sexual object because of human trafficking, that should pull at everybody's heartstrings. And you brought out a lot of stuff in this film that every mother who gives birth mm-hmm. to a child can relate to it and want to protect his or her kid. So, you know, we've had people that... they judge other people, right? And they like to stay in their own culture, their own mm-hmm. pigeon. They want to stay in their own box, I should say. How mm-hmm. What do you say to people that say, well, you know, you're writing a film that has religious issues, it has spiritual mm-hmm. issues, it's also philosophical, mm-hmm. and you live in the United States, you were born in Pakistan. I'm sure people try to put you in one box or the other, and you have to say, wait a minute, I am not that person. I'm more of a person that believes in nature, in God, in a spiritual world, in the soul.
I make a little correction. I'm the most cosmopolitan person. I was born in England, St. Albans. And then, yeah, I was raised in Pakistan altogether.
Oh, okay, okay. Thank you for correcting me.
No worries.
But, you know, my Pakistani friend claimed you when I said, when I told her who you was.
Yeah, absolutely. I love to, you know, I'm proud to be from Pakistan.
Yeah.
I love that country. I love the soil. I love the land because everywhere the same dust and land and grain and its water and sea and ocean, everywhere is the same. It is us who create the boundaries. So from my part of answering your question is, if my name is Mashood Qadri, if somebody is, you know, hearing it that like I belong to a certain religion, that is his narrow-mindedness. What I need to see, if you are, you know, from my part, meeting a person or meeting people, and I am putting them together into different boxes, this is my myopic vision, this is my narrow-mindedness. Most important thing is, what kind of a human being you are. That is, everything again comes later. The first thing is, as a human, in any kind of norms, when you are at work, in the office, wherever you are, you will notice that people not just like you, whatever, you know, your skin color, whatnot, they will be the people who will be helping you out in the most critical situation. Don't take me wrong. Not that like, you know, Pakistanis don't help Pakistanis, Indians don't help Indians. It is like, you know, this is how, you know, the Almighty has created you. This is how this world still exists. Otherwise, you know, the few bad people create so much of a chaos, but there are always too many good people who have kept this existence of all of us together.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you know, the world is all about trust and respect, right? And when we say namaste, it means the spirit that lives in me lives in you as well. And I think you hit the nail right on the head. We need more good people to come forward and start doing things like what you're doing and other people, because when we leave the planet, we do want to leave a good footprint behind. And you and I had talked earlier about the soul, right? In every culture, in every religion, it's the soul, and it's, you know, God gives us these talents, gifts, and abilities, and it's according to us, what are you going to take those gifts and abilities and do with it to help other people?
Absolutely, absolutely. As you said that, you know, every religion has the same concept of a spirit and a soul. And as you said that, you know, your soul, you always have a good instinct inside you. My always 2 cents to my, wherever I can speak on any kind of, in any kind of, where I can talk to people is, only be positive. Take your positivism out. The negativity is, it does live inside you. Paranoia, fear, that all exists within you. And that's what happens, that fear is the most, is the foundation of all evil things.
And so many people exploit fear. We see it in politics. Correct. We see it with friends and family. We see it in the newspapers and social media. We see it all the time. And I think it's a very good point that we should all strive to not let fear make us into such a panic-stricken mode, because people do become paranoid by fear. They lose their families, you know, lose jobs, whatever it is. It just paralyzes people. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Dr. Mashood Qadri.
I can say one time, and then you know, Mashood Qadri.
Mashood Qadri, I love
Qadri,
it.
Qadri, you know, Qadri.
Yes, and he is
to go through the deep of the throat.
Yes, yeah, and he's a nephrologist in Arizona, and he also made this beautiful film called Sawan. And we want you to tell our listeners, how can they find the film? How can they find your books? Doctor, you are just an amazing human being. We need more people like you to come forward in our universe. We really do.
Yeah, I haven't been to the, you know, to the plane. I haven't jumped. I'm not used to parachute, you know. You are making me too high, you know. No, I'm just a very small person. I mean it, I'm a very small person. You know, as a matter of fact, my father was a very good writer, and he used to say that once you feel that you are something, you are done. So from my part, you know, humility is very important.
Yes.
So the Sawan is available on Netflix. Sawan was nominated for Oscar on international film category by Pakistan Film Industry. And we were very close because we were interviewed and everything. So we were not like just nominated. We had gone to certain extent with Oscar nomination. And then it had won 11 international awards, which was at least in in Pakistan, it is only one film which had won 12 international film awards. And as I said, that it is available on Netflix. As far as my books are concerned, they are in local language, but they are available on Amazon. They are available back home. And one of my book, which I recently had written on more of a, it's like more of a philosophical, my self-proclaimed philosophy. So that is going to be translated in English soon, and it will be in the market.
Wow. I tell you, when I watched that film, something inside of me said, I need to get a hold of you. And I sent you that message on Facebook, and I'm so grateful that you followed up, because I would love to have you call back on our show another time and speak about your upcoming film, because I think we need more people to empower women. We're watching right now what's going on in Ukraine, and it's the women and the children that are at the forefront of this war, and it's important that men understand that as well. And I think, you know, education is good, but it's up to us to take the education and act upon it. And you have educated so many of us by making this film, Sawan. And I have to tell you, I want to go to that place one day and look at the mountains and just sit there and read a book. Mm-hmm. You brought out the beauty in the area as well.
Sure. It's a beautiful part of the world, beautiful people. And then we have also shown the positivism in it. What my objective, Sita, was, how do I take the this from disability? So that this disabled child who was never allowed to be vertical, who was never allowed to walk on his own, he assembled himself those artificial leg, and then he managed to walk on it. And then he made his own crutches, and then he moved on. Well, and then he had helped, if you watch the film, he had helped a debilitated person, a demented person who was considered as a bad spirit in the town, who was left dry and high in the drought, just like this child. And because of his, as you mentioned in the beginning, because of his positivism from his mother, who always he thought that she is the navigator for him, which is always the case in every successful person. I wanted to say it very loud. Fathers, yes, definitely, they work very hard. I spend 16 hours at work. My wife works 16 hours with my children to raise them. So this is what the mothers, is all contribution from mothers. Father has definitely a back from it. So this child stood upon himself. Then he helped the debilitated person, who's not only debilitated, but he is scary. He's like, you know, I would say Pakistani Freddy. So, but this child helped him, and the old man, he was almost dead to, you know, from starvation, and he helped him out. And then he met a dog who's tripod, who lost his limb. As a matter of fact, that dog, I brought him from Arizona, Phoenix, because I had certain picture in my mind of a dog, so, and I wanted to put it together very, very accurate to it.
And you did such a fantastic job. And unfortunately, we're out of time for our segment.
Okay.
But I wanted to make sure that we had all of the information for our listeners here at Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And we will make sure all of that gets posted. But how can someone find the information about Sawan?
On Netflix. You can watch it on Netflix.
Thank you, Doctor. And yes, you did bring out a lot of compassion in the film, too. Not just for the dog and the elderly man, but also for the children who are being trafficked by these men who were hurting these children just so they could sell them to other people. I love the film. I've told many people about it, and I thank you for being my friend and taking time out of your busy practice to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Pleasure is mine, Sita, and wonderful talking to you.
All right. Thank you. So, folks, listen in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends each and every Monday here at 1 p.m. We're going to take a really quick break and listen to our sponsors. We'll be right back after these messages.
He was awesome.
When you
11.
Need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. What a great show.
It is.
Oh, my God. That segment was so wonderful. I feel like he was sitting right here making a film for us.
Yep.
You know,
Dr. Mashood Kadri. Yeah,
you
is
said
his
it.
Last name.
Yeah, you said it really nice. I like the way you learn how to say the names.
I'm going to get better at it each time.
And that was a really good conversation about everything that affects human beings, human trafficking, jobs, resources, refugees, fleeing, bad governments. Corruption. Sounds like politicians.
It covered everything, for sure. It covered everything
so
that we're dealing with.
So, our second segment is with Florida's 13th congressman, Charlie Crist.
The congressional district, which covers Pinellas County from Clearwater down through St. Pete. And that's where I grew up, too. So, that's also where he grew up. So, it's one of the most beautiful parts of Florida, if you've never been over there. He spent his life work following fellow Floridians. He was elected to the Florida Senate in 1992. Where he championed environmental protection issues and public education. In 2000, after two terms in the Florida Senate, Charlie continued to push for education funding and better teacher pay as the state's education commissioner. And in 2002, he was elected the Florida Attorney General, a role through which he fought for consumer protections, civil rights, and opportunities for at-risk youth.
Yeah, and for so people who said things about the politicians, I always say it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. If you put yourself out there to represent the people, thank you.
Right.
Because it's easy to sit behind a keyboard and type stuff up. It's easy to sprout and say things. But it's very difficult to actually leave your family, leave your children, your friends, your neighborhood, and go canvassing and campaigning from, you know, city to city, town to town, the entire state of Florida, or wherever you live, to represent people.
And I mean, don't forget, he was also our 44th governor as
That's
well
right. And,
Florida,
and here's the thing, Ellen, you know, I always hear people who talk, but if you ask those same people, are you willing to put your hat in the ring? They're not.
Right.
So if you're not willing to put your hat in the ring and represent the people, then maybe you ought to take a look in your own neighborhood and see, do you have neighbors who need Medicaid expansion? Mm-hmm. Do you need children who need a good public education? Do you have people in your community who need opportunities in that zip code?
Right.
Do you need good infrastructure? Do you need a job? Do you need a job with benefits, most important? Mm-hmm. How do you feel about your parents who are aging, your children who are disabled? I mean, these are questions that people should be having with each other around their kitchen table, in their homes, wherever it is, and making sure that they're contributing.
Right. Well, and now more than ever, people need to be more connected to our Congress folks and our folks that are representing us so that and they're not that hard to get a hold of, especially someone like Charlie Crist. He was always so easy. He always responds. His office always responds to every.
Well, you know what I liked about former Governor Charlie Crist, now Congressman, who's running for the governor here for the state of Florida, is he's approachable.
Right.
And people like those who are in powerful positions that you could go up to them and have a conversation and say, hey, my child is sick. I want to talk to you about Medicaid expansion. Right. Or I'm not making enough at $12 an hour. I can't pay my rent. I can't put gas in my car. I can't afford food. Can I speak to you about that? Or I notice in my neighborhood, the Indian River Lagoon is black. And there's a lot of muck. Can we talk about that? And these are people that actually listen to you and try to find solutions. And I know that former Governor Chris is on the phone. So welcome and thank you for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Thank you, Sita. It's great to be with you. I hope you're having a great day.
We are. You know, every day we wake up is a very good day. It's just a day to give back and think about what we can do for others and try to reach out and stay involved and engage in our communities. So thank you for calling us and bring us up to speed about the Charlie Chris for Governor's campaign.
Well, we're doing great. I'm actually in Tampa today. Just was with about 14 African-American pastors who just endorsed us. So thank God for that. But working hard every day and trying to get around Florida as much as possible. Hope to be back in Brevard sooner than later and be able to see you in person and come visit, you know, Melbourne and Titusville and the Cape and see what's going on there. Very exciting what's happening with the space program. But no, things are good. Things are very good. And we spread our message a little further and a little wider every single day.
Well, thank you for making us a priority, the concerns of us, the people here in the state of Florida. And that's what makes a lot of us want to vote for you, make sure we spread the words to our friends and family, because we feel like your heart's in the right place, former Governor Charlie Crist. That's how we feel. We feel like you are working for us to make sure that our life is better. So tell us a little bit about what happened in Tallahassee. We know that the session just closed, and a lot of people are very concerned about what we see as culture wars. And it's a little bit upsetting because, you know, we have friends who are pro-life or pro-choice or whatever, and we all talk about life being so precious. But sometimes you feel as though, because of the culture wars, some lives are not viewed as precious at all.
Well, no, I think that's very much the case. And it's sad, and it breaks my heart to see that coming from our governor and our legislature. But you're right. I mean, they are focused on, you know, punishing different groups of people, whether they're LGBTQ or African-American or, you know, a woman and wants to have the opportunity to make her own decisions about her health. You know, public education being underfunded. I mean, the list goes on. Our environment not being protected. And, you know, I know Florida deserves better than this. I know that Florida deserves better than this. And that's why I'm running. I'm running so that the people will have a choice and they can make an informed one. And, you know, they have the opportunity to have a governor that'll have their back, instead of one that's only concerned about his own political pursuit of the presidency. I mean, it's just very sad to say and hard to watch.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things, Congressman Chris, that people are talking about right now is, first and foremost on their mind, is COVID-19, the pandemic. Of course, you know, me being a nurse, I worked in the unit for 6 to 8 months. I understand that after our patients got vaccinated, we had no deaths. We were able to keep people out of the hospital. And a lot of us feel as though Governor Ron DeSantis' policies did not address this problem appropriately. How would you have approached this problem differently?
Oh, many ways. Number one, I would have encouraged people to get vaccines. I would have encouraged people to wear masks indoors, you know, as the virus was still spreading, instead of, you know, recommending people go get medicine after they already are sick. I mean, you know, my dad's a family doctor, and, you know, in medicine, they always say prevention is the best way to handle anything, whether it's cancer or COVID. And, you know, not having that approach or listening to scientists, I think was just wrong. And so I would do it completely differently from what Ron did, Governor DeSantis. I think he missed the boat. I think he did not listen to good science, and it cost a lot of people their lives and their health.
Yeah, and you know, when I think about you, I think about you as a person who's on a mission to get all of us united again. Floridians from all walks of life, all class, all religion, no matter where we come from, you are the man that is going to unite us, because we've seen where our state is so divided and paralyzed by fear and division and hatred, and people have put themselves into camps of who is a Democrat, who is a Republican, and those of us in the middle who can still have an open mind, our voices are not getting heard. And I think we do need to message properly so we could bring everybody into your campaign. What is your message to get everybody united?
Well, just to recognize this one simple fact, we're all Floridians first. And, you know, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, an independent, it doesn't make a difference. What does make a difference is that we need to be unified on the things that we can unite on. You know, I mean, who among us doesn't want a better education for our children? Who among us doesn't want a safe community in which to raise your family? Who among us doesn't want a clean environment, especially as Floridians, because it means so much to our economy? There's a lot we can agree upon. There's a lot that we can work on together and do it united and do it as Floridians. It doesn't have to involve politics. Practical things that need to be done. Infrastructure comes to mind. You know, I was proud to have voted for a new infrastructure package, the likes of which we haven't seen since the Eisenhower administration. That's going to do so much, especially for a state as big as Florida, in terms of our roads, our bridges, our transportation, our bandwidth for more access to the internet for people that may not have it today. So, you know, there's a lot of things we can work on together. We can unite together and take Florida forward again instead of backward like we are now.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of us have friends who received fundraising letters from Governor DeSantis trying to link you to our President Joe Biden. And we all know that our president is working very hard, one crisis after the other, from the southern border to COVID to Ukraine to fighting for wages and healthcare. Why do you think Governor Ron DeSantis is tying you to President Joe Biden, when all of us are seeing that President Biden is handling crisis after crisis well, which I think in some ways is a compliment to you that you would handle crisis as well?
Well, you know, a lot of people have actually told me, Sita, that this race, us against DeSantis, in some ways mirrors or reflects Trump versus Biden. You know, in Trump, you had a rookie president who acted like it just about every day. And in Joe Biden, you had a seasoned public servant, had lots of experience, respected and trusted, and the people chose him. And I think this is a analogy that's not that dissimilar from, you know, DeSantis versus Crist. You know, you got a rookie governor who acts like it, in my humble opinion, just about every day in the kind of culture wars he engages us in. And then you've got us, you know, experienced, had the job before, knows how to be governor, hopefully trusted, and a kinder soul. And so I think the analogy is fair, and I believe the outcome is going to be the same. I think we're going to end up winning. But only if we all get out there, we all vote, we do what we need to do in order to make sure that we're heard at the polls.
So Congressman Charlie Crist, former governor for our state, who I support you 100%. I think you're doing a terrific job. And I know people are listening to you because I get phone calls and emails from people who are supporting you. How do we get more people, Democrats, Republicans, independents, to message what the Democrats want to do? You've spoken about Medicaid expansion. You've spoken about the ban on assault weapons. You've spoken about, you know, infrastructure, cleaning up the Indian River Lagoon, for example, the Everglades and things like that. How do we get more people to understand that, yes, our party does care? Because sometimes we feel as though the message is lost. How do we, well, as Democrats, get our message that, yeah, we do care about things?
Well, you know, if you had the opportunity to watch the president give a State of the Union speech, it was a great message. It was a great message about, you know, needing to do what we had to do in order to keep Ukraine free, and why we're, you know, as engaged as we are in that effort. And also he talked about the fact that it's important to support police because we need them in order to keep our communities safe, and we have to have them properly trained. You know, it's just the kind of things that he talks about in the State of the Union, or that hopefully a future Governor Crist will talk about in a State of the State, and just follow that messaging of doing the right thing, being decent to folks, practicing the golden rule, do unto others as you would have done unto you. You know, these things are not complicated. They're really pretty simple when you break it down. And that's the kind of message that we need. It has to be simple.
Right. And, you know, like, I remember the last time you called and we had spoken about the two words, defund and socialism, right? And there are people that say, oh, the Democrats are socialist and we're running campaigns. And I said to them, well, wait a minute. You want a public school for your children. You want Medicaid expansion. You want Medicare. You want roads. You want airport security. You want homeland security. You want to go to the DMV or have somebody to take care of your car registration. You want food on the table. You want clean water, clean air. So those things don't come for free. And I know, Congressman Chris, that you're, you know, one of us that say, listen, work as hard as you want. Be fiscally responsible. But yes, it's okay to be socially liberal. What do you say to people that label us and our party tax and spend liberals?
Well, I would say that we're capitalists. I would say that what we're doing is trying to make sure that Americans have a brighter future. You know, we've done sort of a second recovery act, if you will, with this pandemic, and make sure that businesses could stay open, significantly sending funding to restaurants across not only Florida, but the whole country, and just do what's right. You know, treat people well, be decent to folks. You know, I'm a capitalist, and I'm a compassionate capitalist. And I think what that means is, you know, I understand why my grandfather immigrated from Greece and came to America for an opportunity, for a chance to do better for himself and his family. And that's the history of our country. You know, people coming from all over the world who want to be in the United States, this great capitalist country that provides so much opportunity to so many people.
Yeah, but for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Congressman Charlie Crist, who was a 44th governor for the state of Florida and is running for governor again. And Ellen was talking this morning about people in her neighborhood that just don't get involved. I mean, we'd like to see more Floridians, more Americans have those conversations, Congressman Charlie Crist, with their loved ones about opening a bank account. Getting a mortgage, how much you pay for rent, do you need help with your children, what is your plan to vote? Now, we're all watching what's happening with redistricting. What can you say to the people who are listening to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today and say, listen, what is your plan to vote? Because it's not enough just to say, I'm going to do it. We've got to have a plan.
Yeah, you got to have a plan. There's no question about it. You can vote by mail, you can vote early, or you can vote on Election Day itself. Whatever it is that you prefer, just be sure that you've got your plan in place in order to carry it out. And you're right. We can't just say it. We got to do it. And I would challenge your listeners as well to encourage other people to do that, to have a plan about how they're going to vote. I mean, the only way we can change this thing is that all of us get out and vote, get our family members to vote, people you go to church or synagogue with to vote, people you work with to get out and vote. We've got to have a record turnout in order for this to happen, and I believe that we will.
Yeah, and so we were reading that you're up in the polls. So, I mean, we've been saying it to all our friends that you're up in the polls. What do you think right now is happening? Because a lot of people think that our governor, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, he's actually running for the presidency. It doesn't look like he is concerned more about the Florida anymore. He looks like he's doing something completely different. Could that be why you're up in the polls?
It could be. I don't know. I mean, you know, polls are all over the place, and some are up, some are not, and all I care about is the poll that matters the most, and that's Election Day. But I am in agreement with you. I think he is running for president. I think he is focused on that. And I think he's really actually taken his eye off the ball as it relates to Floridians, you know, trying to address their needs at, you know, kitchen table issues, like the price that you have to pay now for property insurance, for automobile insurance, that you have to pay for a home or rent an apartment. I mean, it's ridiculous. Your utility rates, it's awful how much they're going up because he doesn't have your back. He doesn't care about that. He only cares about trying to get to the White House in 2024. And Floridians deserve better than that.
Yeah. So Congressman Charlie Crist, a friend of mine just texted me. She said to ask you what you think about the public schools who are speaking about banning certain books. And, I mean, if we do want an educated nation, we want an educated society, and we all learn from history, we learn from education, we learn from each other, we learn from other people's cultures, we learn about how to live, how to take what we came into this world with, give it to others, and just life experience. So what do you think about all this talk about banning books and putting parents and teachers against each other and the students are caught in the middle?
Well, I think it's awful. I mean, you know, there are places in history around the world that have banned books or burned books, and it's not right. And what we need to do is we need to teach actual facts in our schools, in our public schools, and history, and, you know, history that was good and some history that wasn't so good. But we need to be factual about what we're teaching our children so that they can move forward with a mind that has the kind of knowledge and information that every child deserves. And, you know, there's an old expression, those who don't know history may be condemned to repeat it. And usually people are talking about the Holocaust when they use that phraseology. And obviously, one of the most horrible things in the history of the world, the Holocaust. But if you don't know about it or don't believe that it happened, or other people tell you that, you know, that wasn't true, they're misleading you. And that's not right. That's not appropriate. You know, what our kids deserve is a good, solid education that is fact-based.
Right. And the thing is, as a mother and as a grandmother, I have to say that, yes, I remember when we were children, there were certain conversations that our parents would say, this is big people talk, which meant in their way, this is not age appropriate. We're not saying that, you know, children shouldn't be in a situation where the adults have to know what they're talking about or what they're learning or what they're reading. But I think it's the way certain politicians are going about it. They're making it one against the other. No one is saying that they want a five-year-old to learn certain things in school. You know, so what do you say to those people that have put the Democrats in such a position that you have to choose what to teach a child? I mean, all of us know what's age appropriate. We all talk about sex education at appropriate ages. We know what we're supposed to be telling our kids, our aunties and our cousins and our grandmothers. But all of a sudden, sex and children and the LGBTQ issue, all of this have taken over, and it's almost like the Republicans have all these talking points, the talking points of immigration, the talking points of defunding the police, and all of that is so untrue. It's not happening.
That's right. Well, like I say, stick to the facts. You know, facts are stubborn things, and I think we need to have our education always based on what facts are. And we shouldn't be censoring people, you know, like at the University of Florida, about what was happening with COVID. You know, we need to have a free exchange of ideas in a respectful manner. That's an American tradition.
Yeah, because, I mean, all of a sudden, teachers are now afraid to hug a student. And it used to be the one place that a child could go and feel safe was school. Congressman Charlie Crist, how do we make our schools more safe again for teachers and parents as well as children so that people can have an open conversation? I mean, after all, we're working hard and paying taxes for our schools, and we don't want our teachers to be censored as to what they can teach our children and how they can show compassion and empathy for children.
Well, we have to properly fund it. There's no question about that. And that's not happening right now. You know, we're the third largest state in the country, and what's happening is that we're funding at 49th out of 50 states. You know, that's inexcusable, and that should never happen. And so we need to reprioritize public education in Florida and make sure that our hardworking school teachers get the pay and the salary that they deserve, and that our children get the education that they deserve that should be second to none.
Yeah, and why do you think certain politicians feel as though they own the flag and they own the rights to talk about law enforcement? We all love the flag. I stand up for the pledge. I know most of everybody I know wants law enforcement to be funded. They want them to have a pension plan. But they also want all communities, all neighborhoods, all zip codes to also have the resources that it needs for people to thrive. So why do you think certain politicians wrap themselves up in the flag as though we don't care about it?
I don't know. I don't really understand it, Sita, to tell you the truth. Because like you, you know, I love the flag, and I'm very patriotic. And I think it's important, if that's how you feel, that you feel confident expressing it. And so I don't know why some do things in a different fashion. I really don't.
Right. All right. And so one more question before we let you go. Endorsements. We noticed that you're getting more and more endorsements. I know my Puerto Rican friends are supporting you. The Haitian American community is supporting you. The Caribbean folks. Any more endorsements? And how can we get more people involved in the campaign?
Well, as I mentioned, I think at the outset, we got 14 more African American pastors endorsed us today in Tampa. So you're right. I mean, it continues being added to each and every day. Very proud of that support and that leadership, frankly, and very proud to be on the program with you today, Sita. You're a wonderful person. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show yet again, and I look forward to doing it again.
We'd love to have you in person next time, and I promise you, I'll make you some, I don't know if you're vegetarian or not, but I can make curried potatoes, or I can make curried chicken. I can serve it with rice, and I can also give you a little salad with that.
At Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, awesome. Food rules.
That's right. So give us the website one more time, Congressman Charlie Crist, because I know a lot of people would like to donate some time, some money. They'd like to send some ideas for you. And people are getting energized about your campaign and wants to stay involved and engaged.
Well, thank you, Sita. It's very simple. It's just charliecrist.com, myname.com.
Thank you.
You can volunteer. You can contribute whatever you desire to do. We look forward to everybody's help.
Thank you so very much. We really appreciate you taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, so all of what a great show today, Sita. We met two fantastic, well, Charlie Crist is a great friend of yours. I mean, every time you're out, I always see pictures of you and him together. But our new friend, Masoud Qadri, was also on earlier. He's a doctor, a nephrologist, and also an Oscar nominated.
Can you believe it?
Film and video producer.
How do I find these wonderful people? It's amazing.
You are amazing.
I tell you what it is. When Ahmed goes to bed at night, I have all this time to get on social media and watch my Netflix films and stuff. I'm also contacting a director and producer who lives in South Africa, who just made a film as well. And so it's called Angelina. And so she's going to be taking the time to call in from Australia on our show. We just have to figure out, you're the brain behind the operation.
Yeah, she's going to be calling in at midnight, because I think that's the difference in time. But nonetheless, thank you again so much to all of our listeners out there in 1510 WWBC land, 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. Listening to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We're here every single week on Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'd love for you to tune in, send in your questions, and keep sharing the love out there, everybody.
That's
See
right.
you soon.
We did it.